Hi, and welcome to the Marketing Munchies podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Bridget Behe. This week, I am excited to have a neighbor to the South, new friend and colleague, Joe Perlacky, who is the executive director of the Maumee Valley Growers Association. Welcome, Joe.
Hey, it's good to be here. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, we started chatting, gosh, what, almost a year ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was an interesting project that you were able to get a grant for, but I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about the Maumee Valley Growers Association?
Sure. The Maumee Valley Growers Association is a nonprofit C6 organization. It's been around a little over 15 years now. It started as a white paper back in 2003 through the University of Toledo, Bowling Green State University, Owens Community College, as a study that was trying to determine why maybe in the floriculture industry, some of the growers were peaking out. Is there anything that could be done that would stop that flow downward and keep it in that sweet spot up at top, which was the most efficient? So we started that way through the university. And we did have some grant funding back then also. And that took us about 4 or 5 years. And at that point, the funding wound down. But fortunately, because we were a C6 organization, that was a business organization. And we knew ahead of time that we had to set up some programs that would make us sustainable for long term. So we did. We set up about 3 or 4 different programs that brought in some cash flow that kept our operations alive. The Maumee Valley Growers is primarily an organization that has about 60 members, mostly greenhouse members, in Northwest Ohio, some in Southeast Michigan. And it affects about $100 million in revenue, believe it or not, when you look at all of the impact that the 62, I'll call 100, because then you can pull in the ag industry also, the farmers. So there's a big impact here. And that was over 700 employees if you took everyone in aggregate. So that's like an impact of a major auto manufacturing plant of 700, 750 people. We focus both on the wholesalers and the retailers. Well, that gets us to where we are right now. And that's trying to figure out how can we best sustain the growers, because they're met with challenges often. And I'm not just talking weather, that's pretty much every year.
Yeah.
But we're trying to figure out, what can we do? And when I say we, I'm talking about the retail growers. What can we do to impact our sales? And obviously we understand that people buy in different manners. We understand that the age groups make a difference. And we also wonder, are we missing something along the way? Are we not catering to all these generations? And so that's how we got started.
Well, yeah, it's a great history. And I noticed on the website, the organization has a good history of funding too. And this most recent specialty crop block grant that you got to look at the difference among generations and purchasing, how did that come about?
Well, this was kind of unique because we did receive a 2-year specialty crop grant from the USDA. And I noticed there was very little research on floriculture. There's a lot of research on a lot of other things, pretty much everything, but floriculture, flower. And so I thought to myself, you know, this is really a pretty good opportunity here, although it's not done a lot, to really look into the purchasing habits of our customers a little more seriously. And with a little help from you and others, we identified what are the generational customers, what's their age groups, what's their demographics, everything that goes with it, about, you know, 4, 5, 6 different things that we were interested in getting some information on. So it turned out to be about 5 generational groups, and we did gather some strong data.
I just think it's really exciting. I don't often see trade associations, grower groups going after funding. So kudos to you and the Maumee Valley Growers Association for getting that grant. And it really intrigued me because you were interested in collecting what I'll call a really good field study. You want to talk about the cameras and the study itself?
Yeah, we were trying to figure out how can we get unbiased or objective information from the process of sales. And, you know, we thought about putting up some notices, some signs that said, oh, we're doing a study. We thought about handing out flyers at the doors that says, hey, and, you know, we got some displays out there and we're associated with gathering some information. But you know what? We said, no, we're not going to bias anything. And the only way to do that, which you can do in the private sector, because they have security cameras in most places anyways, is we set aside specific displays in four different greenhouses. One greenhouse had two different displays, and the displays were for the purpose of observing with the cameras how they purchased. And we were looking at things like male, female, how long it took to purchase. Did they purchase one thing? Did they pick something up and put it down and buy it or not buy it? All these thought-provoking things that go into a buy. And we recorded them. And we had to dig through over 10,000, and I'm not kidding you, 10,000 what the camera people call events, which generally lasted on average about 10 to 15 seconds. Some lasted longer, up to a minute. Some lasted 2 seconds. You know, there were certain criteria we had for recording the data, certain things we did not record if we weren't for sure on the information. For example, somebody bought something somewhere else and carried it into the picture area. We didn't see that purchase, so we couldn't gather info, but they had it with them. We did not record that. We had to actually see it. So with over 10,000 events, ranging from 10 to 15 seconds, we recorded about 850 to 900 of those. And some were purchases, some were non-purchases. And they were all over the board on the five generations. And we started seeing some interesting patterns. And those patterns, which of course we can translate into practical use for our growers, which is our next step next year, is to apply some of this information that we have. So
you might want to talk a little bit about too the how you handled that video. We work a lot with eye tracking glasses, and that produces a lot of video.
Sure.
And people really don't understand how time consuming it is to go through, because you have to have another set of eyeballs go through and look at that data.
Well, after 10,000 videos, your eyeballs fall out of your head and you got to pick them back up and put them right back in. Just from the technical aspect, in using the cameras, the placement of the camera was important. You wanted to focus in on the display area, which, by the way, we started with medium cost items to higher cost items. And very soon, after a week, we realized that people were bypassing the purchases. We thought, how many people are we missing? So I asked the growers to change plans midstream. And I said, throw some inexpensive items. Well, medium-sized items, we'll call it, is $30 and greater. Okay. I said, put something in there for like 10 or 15 bucks, but add color. We put some of that in. That solved our problem immediately. The traffic increased, I'm going to say tenfold, as far as focusing in on the displays. So that's one change we made midstream. The other technical aspect is the location of the cameras to keep it out of the main traffic areas, because cameras would trigger.
Yeah, and all the time.
Now, the cameras we used were Blink cameras. We also looked at other manufacturers. The reason we went with Blink and why it was a perfect match for this kind of research is because it allowed us to, first of all, we didn't use any sound at all. We turned all the microphones off. Didn't need it. It was only video. We were able to set it up to a maximum of 1 minute. We rarely needed it because everything happened within, like I say, a 10 to 15 segment. With most things, most purchases happening in a 3, 4, 5 second period, which is interesting. So the camera location was important. The selection of the camera, being that it was motion detected and would only go a limited period of time while somebody was in the frame moving, helped tremendously in editing. In the 2 months that we did this, which we did for a 60-day period, not one battery went out. I was amazed. Technically, that's how we gathered the information.
Yeah, I think that's a great use of cameras, security cameras, and adjusting them so you can see who is interested in a particular display or not, I think was really a very bright stroke of good fortune. So I appreciate you coming on the podcast today and sharing the whole story with us, and hope to have you back again another time.
All right. I appreciate it. And I was happy to share the information with everyone.